Istanbul, 2016. 35-year-old Naz Peri, Peri Nalbantoglu, discovers her capacity for violence when a thief snatches her handbag. Abandoning her car in traffic, she chases him barefoot through cobbled alleys in her expensive purple dress. When confronted with a knife, something primal awakens in her. She fights with unexpected ferocity, experiencing a vision of the baby in the mist, a recurring apparition from childhood. The thief has emptied her bag, revealing a hidden Polaroid showing Peri with two women and a professor from Oxford. This photograph, a memento she's carried despite trying to forget, forces her to confront memories she's long suppressed. Haven't we all felt that disconnect between our public selves and our hidden depths? Growing up on Istanbul's mute poet street, Peri's home was a battlefield of competing worldviews. Her father, Mansur, a secular rationalist who worshipped Ataturk, constantly clashed with her devout Muslim mother, Selma. Their fragile balance collapsed when police arrested Peri's brother and found a gun hidden in 7-year-old Peri's toy trunk. The trauma split the family. Mansur blamed Selma's neglect, while Selma blamed Mansur's godless ideas. Caught between these forces, 8-year-old Peri became obsessed with finding God. Her father gave her a turquoise notebook with a mirrored mosaic cover for recording thoughts about the divine. She wrote, "God comes in many pieces and colors. I can build a peaceful God, all-loving, or an angry God, punishing, or maybe nothing. God is a Lego set." This division created in Peri a perpetual uncertainty. When she experienced visions of the baby in the mist, her father dismissed them, while her mother took her to an exorcist who claimed she was possessed. At Oxford, Peri forms an unlikely friendship with two women, Shirin, an Iranian exile who belongs nowhere, and Mona, an Egyptian-American who identifies as a Muslim feminist. Professor Azur later labels them the sinner, the believer, and the confused. Peri's life transforms when she discovers Professor Azur's seminar titled God. His Third Path philosophy embraces both faith and doubt, celebrating uncertainty rather than suppressing it. In his chaotic office filled with books and colorful strings crisscrossing the room, he tells Peri the seminar requires confusion, curiosity, and complicatedness, qualities he recognizes in her. Azur challenges students to shed their mantles of certainty, warning against the malady of certainty that breeds arrogance. He assigns contradictory readings. Atheists study religious texts, believers examine atheist works, to foster empathy across perspectives. For Peri, Oxford offers the possibility of finding a middle path beyond her parents' opposing worldviews, a framework that might finally resolve her long-standing questions. As Peri immerses herself in Professor Azur's seminar, she develops a powerful infatuation with him, seeing him as an escape from her parents' rigid dichotomies. The relationship grows complicated when Peri discovers possible evidence of an affair between Shirin and Azur. Troy, a disgruntled student, claims he's been timing their private meetings in Azur's rooms. Tension builds among the roommates through heated debates about religion and politics. Mona defends faith, while Shirin attacks religious extremism, leaving Peri caught in the middle. She envies their certainty. Mona has faith, Shirin has fury, while feeling she has nothing solid to grasp. This volatile situation culminates in Peri's suicide attempt by paracetamol overdose. Afterward, Azur faces an ethics investigation based on Troy's accusations. On the day of her testimony, Peri walks away without speaking, unable to take sides. Only years later would she realize her passivity actively contributed to his downfall. In betraying him, she had betrayed truth itself. 16 years after Oxford, Peri has become a modern version of my mother, as she later tells Shirin. Now married to businessman Adnan with 3 children, she navigates Istanbul's elite social circles despite her inner discomfort. At a lavish dinner party, Perry observes how Turkish society has transformed from a place where conservative Muslims and liberal drinkers easily mingled to one divided into invisible ghettos of either staunchly religious or staunchly secularist communities. When guests praise authoritarian efficiency over democracy, Perry asserts that there's no such thing as benevolent dictatorship because there's no such thing as a small god. Throughout the evening, she's haunted by the recovered Oxford Polaroid. When her daughter asks why she dropped out, Perry falsely claims the academic demands were too difficult. During an armed intrusion at the dinner, Perry hides and finally calls Azur after 16 years. She offers to be the professor this time, explaining she was drawn to philosophical tension because she's always lived in that limbo between yes and no. She confesses her infatuation wasn't with Azur himself, but with an idealized version. When we fall in love, we turn the other person into our god. How dangerous is that? Throughout the novel, Perry is haunted by visions of the baby in the mist, an apparition with golden hair and a plum-colored birthmark. These visions stem from two childhood traumas, a near abduction and accidentally causing her twin brother Poyraz's death at age 4 by giving him a plum that choked him. This explains the apparition's birthmark and her profound guilt. This personal ghost parallels the societal ghosts haunting Turkey, a nation caught between East and West, tradition and modernity, authoritarianism and democracy. Perry's divided self mirrors her nation's divided identity. When news of a terrorist bombing interrupts the dinner party, guests process it through dark humor and detached analysis. Perry's husband observes how quickly such tragedies fade. Tomorrow this time, few people will be talking about the teacher. In a week, he'll be forgotten. Unresolved trauma, whether personal or societal, shapes our present until acknowledged. Perry's final conversation with Azur represents her first genuine attempt to confront her past rather than burying it beneath respectability. Three Daughters of Eve explores building bridges between seemingly incompatible worlds. Each character represents a different approach. Professor Azur advocates for his third path, embracing both faith and doubt. Mona shows how religious faith can coexist with progressive values. Shirin represents a more radical break with tradition. Perry, caught between these positions, embodies the struggle many face in our globalized world. Her story suggests that bridging worlds requires not just intellectual understanding, but emotional courage, the willingness to remain true to one's complex identity despite disappointing others. As the novel ends, Perry moves toward resolving her indecision. When armed intruders take over the mansion, she makes decisive choices, calling police and contacting Azur to confront their past. Opening the wardrobe door symbolizes her finally embracing agency. Perhaps the novel's most profound insight is that the space between opposing worldviews can itself become a home. The challenge isn't necessarily choosing sides, but finding meaning in the journey between them. In embracing uncertainty, we might discover not weakness, but a unique wisdom.